The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Just under 60% of Ireland voters cast their votes on Friday, but the count rolls on this morning in several constituencies. And as the Dáil begins to come into focus, what is the outlook for the final seats still up for grabs? And zooming out, how have the parties fared with more seats in play this year? And looking ahead, should we rethink how we treat exit polls, especially since the mark was missed pretty effectively this year? Now, joining me now for a roundup on all things election 2024, Ivan Yates. Ivan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, first of all, the numbers, the way it's looking at the moment, still a few counts to come in and there may be a little bit of switching here and there, but what are you seeing?
I'm seeing 38 Fine Gael, 48 Fianna Fáil, a total of 86. They will head in the direction of, they will agree a rotating Taoiseach on the basis of pro rata, 55% of the fixed term of the government for Fianna Fáil and 45 for Fine Gael, with Micheál going first and being elected Taoiseach early in the new year. I think they'll put the programme for government over Christmas. The Dáil will reconvene in mid-December. And on the formation of the government, they have effectively 20 independents to pick from. And I would say that the regional independents, Sean Kenny, Noel Grealish, Verona Murphy, Michael Lowry, will be the first port of call. They will talk to Independent Ireland as well. And I think Marion Harkin will sign up as well. I don't think she'll be standing again, and, you know, she'll get something out of it. I see the prospect of ministers there. I would even include Paul Gogarty. Overall, great success for News Talk's calling it. We got 90% of it right. The only two I didn't see at all between the individual ones and the revised one was Owen Hayes in South Bay South. Didn't see that. And I didn't see Paul Lawless for AIM 2 in Mayo. But in fairness, I was speaking to Patter about three or four that might be, that didn't materialise, and he never mentioned Paul Lawless to me, so he's close to knocking.
So you are forgiven for those minor lapses. I suppose Chris Andrews in Dublin Bay South was a definite surprise.
Yeah, the shape of it seemed to be Hazel Chu versus that Chris Andrews wasn't safe. We got the other three right, Vanabacek and Gagan, and it was pretty straightforward for Jim O'Callaghan in the end. So that was all good. And the bottom line is that the Greens, I did say to you, the Greens would face wipeout, and I did say to you that Stephen Donnelly would lose his seat. Mm. We discussed all this. In fact, listening to the Pat Kenny Show is much more reliable than pollsters.
We'll talk about that exit poll in a minute. But there is a question, I suppose. Early on, you were saying Stephen Donnelly, in big trouble, closed his constituency offices in Bray and Greystones. He's going to lose his seat. There's an element of, you know, self-fulfilling prophecies there that you have to concern yourself with. Not that you do, but the idea that, well, sure, if I vote for Stephen, it's a lost cause, it's a waste of my vote. Why not give it to somebody else?
No, people love it when I say they're in trouble and all that. The people that really get irate with me when I say so-and-so, Michael Healy-Ray, you know, I said he's absolutely safe, and, you know, he goes mental over it. He got over 18,000 votes. Piers Doherty got the most votes of anyone. Congratulations to both of them getting over 18,000. Now, the people that go berserk, people who actually don't do as well as expected, and they blame it on me that I cost them 2,000 votes because all their opponents said they were safe. The people who I say are in trouble, that means they can go to the doors and say, we need every last vote. Mm. You know what I mean?
Ivan Yates said, I'm in trouble. And he's the oracle.
They love that. It isn't self-fulfilling at all. It's
so
the opposite.
What happened to Stephen Donnelly?
Well, put it like this. Don't take my word for it. I was speaking to a very senior Fianna Fáil in the Wicklow constituency. And he said to me that Stephen just didn't get it. The idea, he didn't hold any clinics. You know, he thought he was a national parliamentarian. You see, he started off in the Sock Dems, and when he left the Sock Dems to join Fianna Fáil, he really wasn't merged into the DNA of the common membership and the Court of Counter, in my opinion. And then Jennifer Whitmer came along and took his old vote, the Sock Dem vote. So he was left in a difficult spot. But you saw this coming in the local elections. Bray East, Bray West, Fianna Fáil ended up with no councillor. They need to completely reorganise. They need a really good ground game because they're up against what is now a phenomenal Harris machine.
And Harris managed to bring a running mate in, and that's all kudos
and
to him.
In spite of the mother and father of a row involving Shay Cullen, who thought he was going to be selected, wasn't, blamed Harris and ran as an independent and went quite close without making it.
Now, the celebrity candidates, we saw, I suppose, the most notorious of them, the Monk losing out at the last minute to the Labour Party, and Paul Reynolds doing quite a job on the Monk in trying to get him to talk about it. He accused Paul Reynolds of being in the pay of the state and RT and all of that. The irony of that, while he was looking himself for a job to be paid for by the state.
Yeah, no, I was... I didn't take his candidacy seriously. I didn't highlight him. I never rated him. And I'm delighted that he was defeated. I rarely take an opinion on a candidate, but in my view, he's a career criminal. No place for him in the Dáil. I get the kind of dislocation of people who are anti-establishment. I get all that and I understand that and so on. But put it like this. I actually interviewed Marie Sherlock last night on our election special. I'm delighted for her. You know, she's a niece of Joe Sherlock. And Sean Sherlock stepped down this time in Mallow with the redraw of the constituencies in Cork North Central. So I'm delighted the Sherlock tradition. And that comes after Joe Costello spent about 40 years in that part of the world for the Labour Party.
Now, there's no question that those who were really successful in this election have to be Social Democrats, but also the Labour Party. All the major parties will try to say they did much better than they had the right to expect. But who can make that boast viably?
Well,
In seats, Fianna Fáil can certainly do it. Absolutely.
Well, Micheál Martin, I think, can say this. You know, he. Situation was that the confidence and supply was a disaster. They had a wipeout in 2011, made a good recovery in 2016, and confidence and supply, they lost 8 seats. They're now back to where they want to be. Look, you know, it depends where you start judging things from. Sinn Féin, relative to the local elections, Lazarus-like recovery. They've actually made real progress in areas like Waterford, in Galway East. So there's green shoots for them. Absolutely, Labour reached maximum toxicity water rates 2014 in government. They're now back as a serious political party. The Sock Dems, you know, despite the unavailability of their leader, had a really good digital campaign. They were a magnet for transfers. But let's be real about this. You know, I was listening to Shane and others talking like there won't be serious talks with the next government and those. The other thing
now, does this free
that,
up the Sinn Féin and those left-ish parties to form a grand alliance that would, in 5 years' time, offer a real coherent choice, not just going on and on about change, but actually saying this is the change, this is what's on offer against the two big parties?
Well, first of all, the reality is they're in competition with each other.
Yeah.
Even between the Sock Dems and Labour. I mean, like, a lot of those seats, you know, Dublin South Central, Dublin West and so on. It was actually Labour versus Sock Dem. So don't underestimate that this is not like we talk about an own label brand and your ham on the shelf. You're talking about a situation that they are actually competing with each other and don't underestimate that, you know, their history and so on. So look, they are fragmented. They're splintered, and that's a reality. But, you know, when you saw the 10-party leader debate, you know, that brought the reality of whether they want to work together. There's a ceiling of about 72 TDs that genuinely call themselves left, whether they're independent for change or whatever. As regards who did badly, the independents didn't do great. There were a lot of independents that were knocking on the door, Willie O'Leary in Cork East, Michael Fleming in Rathdown, but they only knocked on the door. They didn't go in the door. And I think the message that, you know, too much fragmentation is a bad idea, I think, got votes back for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Look, they'll all say they had a great election, and at some point relative to their past history, that will be true. And good luck to them all. You know, but the reality is, this is a game for power, and power is sealed now for the next 5 years.
I'll read you some of the comments coming in. Easy to analyse the Greens being kicked out. Cycle lanes and reduced herd sizes managed to annoy all of us. They brought nothing to voters except contempt. Good riddance, says Rose. The turnout percentage figures are definitely not accurate. We called to have my deceased dad removed from the electoral register 6 months ago, but a polling card still arrived for him. That's according to Joe in Galway. A number of people challenge you on what you got wrong. Ivan Yates did not see Grace Boland, Fine Gael in Skerries, in Dublin Fingal West, getting elected. He got that wrong. And so did the bookies. So I collected from them a nice winning.
Yeah, on the register, first of all, a winter election, and looking at the surge and recovery of Sinn Féin in the last 10 days of the campaign, they listened to Ivan not to have a February election. That would have only accelerated over time, and people would have got grumpier and grumpier. So I saved, you know, you remember we listened to months of Harris and Micheál saying that they wanted a February, go the full term. March is the right time, February is the right time. No, it wasn't. They were lucky to get it in before Christmas. And I think, actually, it would have been worse for the government, and it might have been decisive if they had held a later election. On the register, people tell me that they got two polling cards and all this, and Arthur Leary of the Electoral Commission really needs to focus on that more than anything else. Now, there will be areas where there's such disillusionment that the turnout would be low. But that's actually a failure of the people who are seeking their votes. I mean, one of the key things in an election is to get your vote out. You failed.
Yeah, the question is, though, I'm told that last Thursday night was a college Christmas where all the colleges go out on the RAS. So whatever appetite you might have for voting the day after you've been on the RAS, it might be dimmed somewhat by how you find yourself, and then you've got to make your way home, if you're a student, to your home place to cast your vote. On top of that, Christmas definitely began last Friday. There's no question about it. Yeah?
Snowflake Central. Please, give me a break.
I'm not justifying it.
You care so little about voting because you have a hangover. I mean, the polls were open from 7 in the morning till 10 at night.
You mean you vote on your way home from your party?
Well, whatever you
7
do,
in the morning.
I was in the convention centre doing an award ceremony Thursday night. I didn't get home till all hours, and I'm still able to go vote. I mean, like, you know, the old adage, if you don't vote, don't complain. You know, please, give me a break.
Now, what about the voting register and whether or not the turnout figure is actually accurate?
I think there's at least 6-7% in that. The register is not accurate. People got two polling cards. As you said, deceased people there got cards. In this day of information age, and also there was a surge of 400,000 people registered. So, I mean, maybe some of those, you know, registered and didn't vote. But put it like this, people had the opportunity to vote. And I actually, you know, in Australia they have it's a penalty if you don't vote. You have to vote. We don't have that system. We have maximum choice, and, you know, that's the reality. But I do think that when people complain about the low turnout in certain areas, it is actually their failure to get people to turn out. They didn't motivate them enough. Mm.
Now, Ivan, we'll talk about the exit poll, because these are, a relatively recent feature. They do cost money to commission. And in my view, the only function they have, given that all the votes are cast, is to give us in the media world something to talk about for the first few hours before our very complex electoral system starts to deliver results.
Would you ever hear anything so ridiculous in all your life when they said the excuse was low turnout? Sorry, what did you just say? You're talking to people who've come out of the booth. Doesn't matter whether it's a low turnout or not, you're actually talking. The whole point of an exit poll is you're speaking to people who have voted. So, you know, we're not talking about those who didn't vote. So how can low turnout, it's just irrational that point. Sorry, they're totally discredited. Like, and also,
but is there any point to them? I know that it adds a bit of excitement, and but you have a lot of Sinn Féin candidates who went to bed with a great smile on their face, and a lot of despondent Fianna Fáilers who had their dreams resurrected the following morning.
Yeah, Fianna Fáil got 22% in the local elections, and a bit, and they got 22%. And every poll in between had them in the teens. Like, there's some, even after people have voted Fianna Fáil, they won't admit it. The pollsters just cannot guess Fianna Fáil right. And they have been consistently wrong. And, you know, to be honest with you, I got a lot of texts after the exit poll on Friday night from Fianna Fáil people. And they were really concerned that it could be right. And because that's not what they were feeling. And look, how, you know, 19.5 to 21.9, it's beyond the margin of error. For people who have, like, the point of exit polls is they're supposed to be more accurate. I mean, like, how any self-respecting pollster company cannot just put their hand up and say they messed up.
All right, Ivan, thank you very much for your analysis, both in calling it in the weeks before the poll and in fact getting it so right in the event. Thank you very much for joining us, Ivan Yates.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.